Please take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. As you know, we've been studying the book of Luke for a number of weeks now, a number of months, really. The timing was good. We were able to do some of the Christmas story right at Christmas time. And we will continue with what was happening in the early days of Christ. He'd already been circumcised. He's been taken to the temple now and shown to the Lord. And Simeon is going to greet them in a little bit. Anna also will. Let us stand together. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 25. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. And this is where we took our lesson from last week. There was a man whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And as we know, the word Christ and Messiah, one in the same, one in the Hebrew, one in the Greek. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when he saw, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, and may I stop there just briefly. Salvation is only in through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is only one way into heaven. Some would like to say there are multiple ways through multiple religions. Religion will not get you into heaven. Jesus Christ will get you into heaven. And it says here that mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, the sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again we come thanking you for the opportunity to be here on this Sunday morning. We thank you for the two that were baptized, and Lord, we pray that you would protect them and use them their whole life long. We pray, Lord, now that you would touch hearts today, and may the Holy Spirit move and convict. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of that one who was nearest hell today. May your name be honored and glorified, we pray in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As soon as Simeon took the Lord's Christ into his arms, he became a bold prophet. Each saying of his has deep and far-reaching significance. The mission of Christ is this, to see souls saved. And when the word of God is spoken, many will believe, but also many will reject. For when the word of God is spoken, there are three responses, yes, no, or later. The problem is that later never seems to occur. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. The Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. We need to be prepared, folks, to meet our Maker. It could be at any time. I was talking to someone just the other day, and they were talking about a 50-year-old man that was laid to rest. Now, I remember when 50 seemed to be old. Now that I'm 59, it is old. But Luke chapter 2, let's begin reading now at verse 36, Luke chapter 2. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. You know, I wonder what a great age is. We're going to find out here in just a moment. and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. That means she was what? 84. Of great age. Now, I didn't say that, folks. The Bible said that, okay? Don't fuss at me. Okay. She was 84 years old, which departed not from the temple. Most likely she stayed regularly in the ladies' court or the women's court there of the temple in Jerusalem. But served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Notice verse 38, and she coming in that instant, having obviously seen what Simeon had just done, in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that had looked for redemption in Jerusalem. In verse 25, we find there was a man, and we praise God for men who desire to serve our Lord and Savior. I know that today's society says, well, you don't have time for church. Man, you've got to watch sports and you've got to do other activities, and church ought to be just something extra. No, church ought to be put high on your list of things that you do. In verse 36, it says, there was one Anna, which is a form of the word Hannah, meaning grace. And she was a prophetess. A prophetess was a woman who exercised the prophetic gift in ancient Israel or in the early Christian church. We find that she was a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. We know there were 12 tribes in Israel, and she was of the tribe of Asher. And she was a widow. We have a number of widows with us today. She was married for only 7 years. That's not very long at all. 7 years. I was reading the story the other day of a lady who lived in the country of India. And at the age of 6 years, she was promised to a doctor. Now that means at 6 years old, she was promised to a young man who was just beginning his practice as a doctor. And during the next few years, her mother taught her how to cook and sew and keep house in preparation of her marriage. And on her 12th birthday, he came for her and they were married. She was still 12 years old when she had her first child, a boy. A couple of years later, he died of a heart attack. Now, the story never said how old he was. But the women of the city, upon the dying of the man, of the women of the city, came to her house and shaved her head and beat her, saying she was cursed, and that was the reason for her husband's death. They told her it would be best for her if she would jump upon the funeral pyre and die with him, which of course she wouldn't because of her 2-year-old son. She was secreted to her grandmother's, where she lived in seclusion. And while there, she met for the first time a white woman. She happened to be a missionary who taught her of her need of a Savior, Jesus the Christ. Now, India has many religions. They're full of religion. They serve hundreds and thousands of gods. But for the first time, she heard of the one true God and of salvation. She accepted him as her Savior, which caused her to be not only a curse, but also an outcast. But she says every day she prays, thanking God for her salvation. Folks, it's better to be an outcast on earth than be cast out of heaven. We need to make sure that we are right with our Lord and Savior. The problem is today we want to be blend in with everybody else, when in reality we ought to make sure that we are pleasing to our Lord. Back to our discussion of Anna, she was about 84 years old. G. Campbell Morgan, in his book on the book of Luke, entitled The God Who Cares, has only 2 lines about Anna. And he simply calls her a temple dweller. I think it's good to dwell in the temple of the Lord. I think we should desire to be in the house of God when the doors are open. Regularly she fasted and prayed. And because of her faithfulness to God and her house and his house of prayer, she was blessed at seeing this child, the Lord Jehovah. Who knows what one misses when they don't attend the house of God? Many blessings are missed because we neglect to be here. But notice what she says there in verse 38, that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Redemption, to redeem, to ransom, to reconcile us with God, the God of the universe, with the Lord Jehovah. Revelation 5:9 says, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred. We don't redeem ourselves. We aren't good enough to get into heaven on our own ability. Redemption is the act and the process of redeeming one. To redeem means to buy back, to free from captivity by payment of ransom. Webster's dictionary has the word Jesus. That is very interesting, for Jesus is the one that has redeemed us. A redeemer is a person who redeems. The summary being, God has bought us, purchased us legally by paying the price we required with his son's blood. It is a picture of being bought out of the slave market of sin and being liberated from the devil's entanglement. Let me read to you a number of verses found in the New Testament. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I feel sorry for those who go to a church where it is a works-based religion, where they teach that you have to work your way to heaven. Folks, you can never work your way to heaven. You're not good enough. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ephesians 1:17, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The author of Hebrews writes that the blood of goats and of calves could not save, but by his own blood obtained eternal redemption for us. To receive the redemption of Christ, one must be willing to recognize your sinful condition. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Does that mean you've sinned? Have you sinned over here? Who in this room hasn't sinned other than me? Why are you laughing? Do you think I'm a sinner? I'm a preacher. Hey, honey, you be quiet. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. We've all come sinned. No one is good enough to go to heaven on his own merit. No matter how much good we do, we still fall short of what is required of a holy God. And may I say this, an eternity in hell will not pay for your sins either. Don't think, well, if I go to hell, I'll pay for them eventually. No, your sins will never be paid except through the shed blood of Christ. I'm going to have three of our teenagers come up here. I'm going to have one stand here, one in the middle, and one over here. And I'm not going to pick where they stand because I'm going to have them be different people. So Christopher, come on down, buddy. You're one of them. Scotty, come on down. And Nathaniel, come on down. We're going to get all three of you to come down. And you take each spot. Already one of you is going to be the bad guy. Don't come up here. This is for me. You stand right down there. Or one of the places. You want to be the bad guy? You're in the bad guy spot right now. Hey, you're the good guy.
Yay.
Yeah, you stand right here. Now, I want you to picture in your mind that all three of these guys are 45 years old. Okay? Don't they look good for 45? I tell you what, I looked good when I was 45. I don't know what's happened in the last 14 years, but man, oh man. How old are you?
15.
45. 45. How old are you?
45.
45. How old are you? I don't want to get near you. You're the bad guy. 45 years old. He's been married 20 years. Been married 20 years. He has never smoked. Never drank. Never cussed. Doesn't watch programs on TV that are questionable. Okay. Goes to church. Nice guy, isn't he? Tell you what, you're a good guy. Okay. How old are you?
45.
You've been married how long?
20 years.
20 years. That's right. Doesn't cuss too often. Okay, just when the Red Wings lose. Doesn't smoke. Doesn't drink. Goes to church occasionally. Yeah. Watches some programs that he probably shouldn't. Is he a good guy? Sort of. Probably represents a lot of people in here, doesn't he? Yeah. Oh, this guy over here. Smokes like a fiend. Clothes reek of it. Whew, man, I'm not kidding. How old are you? 45. We saw a picture, an x-ray of your lungs. Not good. Drinks. Does drugs occasionally, watches porn whenever he has the opportunity. He's 45, been married 3 times. Yeah. Hey, you said you wanted to be the bad guy. You heard him that, right? I did not have him pick this spot, did I? No. Is he a bad guy? You think, man, I don't want to be near him. Let me ask you this. Which one of them can get to heaven on their own merit? How about this guy? Never smoked? Never drank? Doesn't go around with women that do? Doesn't cuss? Looks pretty good. Goes to church? Isn't that good enough to get you into heaven? It's not. No. How about this guy here? Mm-mm. How about this one over here? Let me ask you this. Who can go to heaven? All of them can if they've come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, may I say this, that once we come to know Christ as our Savior, there are certain things we shouldn't do anymore. And may I say this, that will keep some people from wanting to come to Christ as our Savior. Because they like to look like the world. They like to act like the world. They want to be just like the world. But folks, we want to be just like who? Like Christ. That's what we want to be like. Thank you, guys. I'm glad that you really don't do those things. Shake my hand that you forgive me. All right. Thank you very much, guys. Yes. See, in the eyes of man, we look at each other and say, well, I'm pretty good. Folks, we're not looking at it through the eyes of man if we're God. If we're God who is holy, who is just. Thank you, Cindy. I'm the one preaching here now. Come on. Did you look at my notes? Okay. And who is righteous. See, he's looking at it through perfect eyes. And may I say this, God hates sin. Whatever the sin. See, we look at sin as thinking, wow, that somebody raped a woman. They're a terrible person. You know, God puts gossip in the same place. We look at people who beat their children and burn them with cigarette butts and, oh, they're a terrible person. Yet God thinks of people who take the dollar that they were given at McDonald's that was above what they should have received and said, oh, my lucky day. Instead of taking it back in and saying, you gave me a dollar too much. See, we want to categorize sin. God says sin is sin. And we need to realize the fact that we are in sinful conditions. Number two, we need to realize the penalty of sin. Romans 6:23a says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The penalty of our sin is eternal death in hell. Hell is a created place. It was created for the devil and his angels. But when man fell, he suddenly needed a savior. And those that did not have a savior will spend all eternity in hell. You say that's unfair. It is unfair that everybody doesn't hear the gospel. That's what's unfair. What's unfair is that we'd rather spend our money on ourselves than wanting to help others know of Jesus Christ as their Savior. We have the thought that I earned it, it's mine. May I say this, in eternity, what we earned here won't count. Only what we've done for the Lord will count. Number three, we need to believe Christ died for us. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. What I consider the greatest verse in the Bible. Now, some would argue with me. Some would say John 3:16 is the greatest verse in the Bible. Some would say Psalms 23 is one of those. Some would say from the book of Psalms 119, a number of those are great verses. I believe this, the greatest verse in the Bible is Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. If I die and someone were to put a gravestone above me, not necessary, but if they did and they were to carve something in it, I would want Romans chapter 5 verse 8. That's what I'd want. You could put Palma Donna, Romans 5, chapter 8. You don't have to say how long I lived and before I died. That doesn't matter. Nobody's interested in the age of an old dead man. But Romans chapter 5, verse 8 can change your life. But God commendeth his love towards us, or for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. May I say this, Christ died for sinners. If you think you're good enough to get to heaven, God didn't send his son to die for you. But he sent his son to die for those who knew they needed a savior. Have you accepted that? Have you come to that point in your life when you have said, I am a sinner and I need to know Christ as my savior? The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Either our death or the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, we're talking about the second death. We're talking about the spiritual death. Are you spiritually alive today, or are you still spiritually dead? Christ died for us. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, just as he said he would do, he arose from the grave, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Trust Christ alone as your Savior. Romans 6:23b, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, Anna talked about the fact that here was redemption. Simeon talked about here was the one that would bring salvation. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Everlasting life is a gift purchased by the blood of Jesus and offered freely to those who will call upon him by faith. Gifts are nice. All of you have received a gift that you thought this was great and you wanted to tell everybody about it. But how many of you have ever received a gift and your first thought was, I hope the receipt is with it? Hey, you thought, oh, what am I going to do with this? And the person that gave it keeps going on and saying, oh, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. And you're thinking, oh, just shut up, man. I don't want it. But I tell you what, there is an unspeakable gift that is offered to us. And that gift is Jesus Christ, the one who shed his blood for you and for me. John 3:36 says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know, they say to whom much is given, much is expected or required. We that live in America, we have been blessed with the abundance of gospel preaching churches. I'm not talking about churches, I'm talking about gospel preaching churches. We've been blessed with bookstores that provide good reading material. We have Christian radio stations. We have Christmas and we have Easter, and the thought of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us has been proclaimed, even though society would like to shut it up. We've been blessed. We are without excuse. The day will come in which we will stand before a holy God. Oh, I know some would say, well, we evolved. We didn't evolve. The Bible clearly says that we were created. And the day will come in which we will stand before our Lord. And he will look for one thing: have you been covered by the blood of Christ? Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come this morning. And Lord, we don't know the spiritual needs of those that are in the room here, but Lord, you know the needs. And if there is one today, Lord, that they have religion, maybe they've gone to church their whole life, but they have never come to that point in their life when they've said, Lord, I need a Savior. We pray, Lord, if that is their condition, we pray that they would come this morning and that they would be willing to pray, asking the Lord for salvation. We ask, Lord, that your will be done at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.